before we get into the notes, but if you do want to grab out your notes and take notes today, I encourage during every sermon here to write down stuff, take stuff on your tablets, make a note. You know, God was in the tablets. He gave Moses two, didn't he? The Ten Commandments. But yeah, make a note. Use what God's given you so don't forget. But I wanted to encourage you, next Sunday, we've got a good mate of mine preaching at the church named Pastor Gary Blackford. Now, he is the chairman of the Ministers Fraternal in Coffs Harbour, my hometown, and pastors a church called Blue Cross Church there. He's an AOG minister, and he's written a book that I gave to Pastor Brad a couple of years ago. He really loved it, called The Fog Lifter. And Pastor Gary suffered from severe depression for 20 years. Even as a minister, he was great in front of everyone, but behind the scenes, he could not get himself happy. He could not overcome. He could not, you know, it affected his marriage. It affected his children. It affected his health in every part of his life. He really struggled with it. And he really had some major breakthroughs several years ago. And he felt God has given him a message to bring to Australia about overcoming depression. And, you know, they say in Australia, 2/3 of Australians will suffer some form of depression sometime over their lifetime. That is a massive amount of people in our country, the great Southland of the Holy Spirit. And who has the answer? Jesus has the answer, amen? Jesus can heal and deliver anyone. I mean, if a guy like Gary had it for 20 years, you know, and he has an amazing testimony. So he's going to be preaching here next Sunday morning and Sunday night in both services. And I also believe we're going to see a lot of people prayed for and healed and set free as well. And I really believe that, you know, it would be foolish of me to get up here and immature of me to say, oh, it can just happen with one hit and, you know, then you don't need anything after that. The thing is, you need a good team around you. You need a good community around you. You need to be in the Word of God. You need to have constant healing from this stuff in the future. And, you know, in our church, I'm always talking to people that are struggling with this kind of stuff. And so I've asked Pastor Gary to come specifically to address this issue in our church, because I don't want anyone downtrodden and depressed and suffering from anxiety in our church. I want us to be a healthy church. So could I ask you to come next Sunday morning and Sunday night and bring anyone you know who's struggling with depression? I'm sure you all know people that are. And he's going to have his book for sale. He's an amazing man of God. I have interviewed him for History Makers before as well. If you want to listen to his message, you can Google it on History Makers and find it. It's a great message. Great book too, Brad. I didn't actually read. I skimmed through it before the interview, but over to Brad and said, mate, what do you reckon? Is this guy good? And he goes, yep, let's get him. He's awesome. So please get fired up for that next Sunday. And also, who's got the Eternity newspaper? Did you get a copy of that there? Yeah? I'm really blessed that they published one of my articles in there about prayer and fasting. And they put the photo of me in there with Kevin Rudd with Q&A. So if you want to read that article, if you haven't got a copy of the magazine, we've got a whole bunch up the back there. But it's really awesome because these guys are run by the Bible Society, but a fairly traditional conservative newspaper. And I've put in there about fasting and the Holy Spirit and all this great stuff. So it's great. So have a read of that if you get a chance. It goes out to 100,000 people around Australia. And it's getting ready for the National Day of Prayer and Fasting coming up on March 2, the one in Canberra, or March 1, the one at Queensland Parliament House. Now, I want to start the message today and just tell a quick story. Is anyone here any good at tennis? Yeah? Joe is? Anyone else? Where's Chris Case? He's up the back there? Yeah. Chris and I had a game of tennis yesterday, and I actually won 2 games. And then he won 2 games after that. But still, I started out well. I realised how unfit I was after 2 games. But, you know, we played a bit of tennis and, you know, I did all right with the first couple of games. And, you know, it really made me think how important it is to practice, particularly if you've got to serve, you know. My serve went a little bit wonky a couple of times there. But I just thought about, as a church, you know, we're all called to serve, aren't we? We're all called to pick up the racket. And so, I mean, see, tennis is really just a singles game, or if you play doubles at best. So it's not really the best example, because really the church is meant to be like a football team, isn't it? Where we're all on the field playing together. And really I see church as like the pep talk before the game, because really the week is really the game, isn't it? Really church is for the equipping of the saints. It's to worship and pray in unity together, to hear the word of God, to encourage each other, but then to be sent out to do the work of the ministry. And anyway, as I was playing with Chris yesterday, it just reminded me that you get a bit rusty when you don't practice your serve. You get a bit rusty and you get a bit unfit when you're not running around on a court sweaty. And you know, and Chris is about, you know, 20 years younger than me. Oh, not that many. I don't know how many years younger. But he's a lot fitter than I am. And he said, yeah. And he said to me, I've been jogging. They live at a Bible college, Chris and Wadzie. And he said, I've been jogging around the campus here, getting fit, you know, getting ready for their wedding, which was a few weeks ago. And after two games, I was exhausted. Carol thought I was awesome the first couple of games. She's like, go, honey, you're like Roger Federer. You're better than him. You're awesome, weren't you? No, not as good. Oh, not as good as FedEx. Oh, okay. Anyway, but it's interesting that because I was a bit out of shape, after the first two games, I just went downhill and just like, oh, I'm not running for that. Forget it. He aced me and I went, what happened then? You know, after four games, well, we really need to go, I think, because, you know, we've got people coming for dinner and, you know, whew, and then I just sat down and I think I nearly made it to heaven after those four games. I was exhausted. But it made me think, you know, just like Chris, he'd been jogging, exercising, preparing, and he made it through to the end. Didn't cop out halfway through. And I think that's one of the struggles we have in church life. Everyone's good at starting, aren't they? They're on fire, serving, and yeah, volleying and running up, you know, woo, just go for it. And then after... and oh, that young bloke, he could run circles around me, you know. And I think for all of us, we need to learn to pace ourselves. There's a few things we can learn. We need to exercise regularly and be prepared and ready for the game that's ahead of us. And we need to practice our serve, you know. And you know what? Whenever I did a good serve, Carol and the kids and Wadzi would go, yes, Matt, that was an awesome serve. And we should be doing that in church, shouldn't we? Whenever someone puts their hand up to join the worship team, like we had 11 people on the stage for the worship team today. Let's give them a hand. Good serve. Good serve for the worship team. You guys were awesome today, you know. We need to encourage each other. Good serve. You know, yesterday my son and I were also playing basketball in the morning. I had a very sporty day yesterday. Not basketball, soccer. We were playing soccer downstairs. And for those of you who know who Josh, he's 8 years old. And just a little fella, because he was born with complications and has cerebral palsy, and we continue to pray for his healing, and he is being healed in Jesus' name. But because of that, he can't run as fast as the other kids. And he actually shared with us a week ago that he was struggling at school because he was the last one to get picked because he's not as fast as the other kids. And you know what it's like at school. It's all about who's the fastest and who can jump the highest. And, this, you know, and you know, our hearts were breaking thinking, oh, but you know what? He's got the best attitude. He's just full of joy. He can handle it, you know. Anyway, so yesterday I'm playing soccer with him and I'm thinking, okay, I've got to train this boy to be tough on the soccer field and to learn to, you know, teach him how to kick well. And, you know, so I was the goalie and he was trying to score. Now, if I just acted like he could score easily every single time, it probably wouldn't be the best training for him, would it? So I had to save a few and say, oh, keep trying, keep trying, keep trying. And then eventually he just belted one straight past me without me even reaching down to stop it. And I'm like, that's a bit the way the Lord does that with us, isn't it? He'll push us out on the soccer field and say, go and have a go. Yeah, to go and run a singles group for a while, see how it goes, you know. Or Christine, why don't you preach on a Sunday night for a bit, you know, and see what the Lord does. Oscar, why don't you start doing some Sunday night services? Or Brad, why don't you go and help build a team over here doing this? Or, you know, and the Lord will just raise us up for a season to send things out. And you know what? When you go and start a ministry or you start serving, you don't always score a goal straight away, do you? You don't always have success straight away. It takes a bit of determination. It takes a bit of guts. And it takes maybe being picked last on the team. You might get rejection. You might fall over and skin your knee. You might try a few times and think, oh, I might as well give up. But what happens if you persist, if you stick to your guns, if you keep going? You'll score the goal. And then every time he scored a goal, you know what he said? He said, yes, I am the best soccer player ever. he's like, yeah, I'm the best ever. And then we did this thing where it's like, bend it like Beckham. I said, I'll teach you how to bend it like Beckham, like David Beckham. He can kick it and it goes around the corner. And And he's like bending it like Beckham, left, right, and center. And he's you know, and then he was the goalie, and he's blocking all the goals, and I couldn't score, you know. And I just felt that's a little bit about the way a father trains his son in sport is the way our Heavenly Father trains us to serve in church. He wants to give us an opportunity and not make it too easy for us. We've got to learn a bit. We've got to learn and go through the tough times to get through it. But we shouldn't quit and give up, which is what my little redhead did halfway through soccer yesterday. Gracie and Jossie were both playing. Sorry, I left that out of the story. We're both playing, and she didn't score. And she's like, oh, I'm not playing anymore. Dad, you know, and she just lost it like a little redhead does. And we had to teach her, honey, you can't always score. You've got to learn to be fair. You've got to learn to share the soccer ball, you know. And eventually she came back and she learned to play with the three of us all together, you know. And Carol would never get on the field at all. And some people are like that. They need to get on the field and play, don't they? Oh, no, you did. You did eventually, you know. But, you know, the thing is, you were doing the washing, I know. You're awesome too. Sorry, I always pick on her, don't I? It's because I love her so much. Anyway, but it's a little bit like doing church as a team. It's our first point in the notes today, if you want to take this down. One of our biggest focuses and values and one of our biggest passions as a church is that it's not just about the paid staff and the clergy doing the work. It's about all of us doing church as a team. And that's why I'm so blessed to see this team that stood up here before. They stood up because I asked them to. They were here because they're all putting their hand to the plow. They're all getting on the soccer field and having a go. And hey, it's not easy. It takes a lot of work to do some of the ministry things that we do here at the church. And you don't always see results and rewards, and you don't always get, oh, good serve or good goal. You don't always get cheered on. But one thing I want to make sure that we have as a solid foundation in the church is that all of us get to play. We're all called to be on the field serving. We all have spiritual gifts. And if you are not serving on a team yet at New Hope, please let us know what you want to do. Maybe we'll put you in an area where you're not happy with for a while. Maybe you've got to be an usher or a greeter, or you've got to vacuum the church or clean the toilets. Maybe you've got to do something like that for a while until you find your calling. Maybe you feel called to join the worship team. Maybe you do feel a call to teach the kids about Jesus in Sunday school. Maybe you do want to go and plant a church or be a missionary. Whatever God's called you to do, don't waste another moment. Don't sit off the field and miss out on what's happening on the field. It's so much more fun on the field, isn't it? It's so much more fun when you're actually playing the game. So if you haven't yet joined a team and started serving at New Hope, please let us know what you want to do, or just fill out a little form. Come and see Carol, Annie, Brad, myself, any of the leaders here, and just put your hand up. Have a go at it. Doesn't mean you have to do it every week. You might do it monthly. You might do it every 2 months. Let us know your availability. The thing is, if we are to be a healthy, strong church, all of us will be doing church as a team. We're going to have a look at a verse here in Ezekiel, the one I talked about from Moses before, Ezekiel 18, 13 to 27. It says, the next day Moses took his place to judge the people. People were standing before him all day long from morning to night. When Moses' father-in-law saw all that he was doing for the people, he said, what's going on here? Why are you doing all this and all by yourself, letting everybody line up for you morning and night? Moses said to his father-in-law, because the people come to me with questions about God. When something comes up, they come to me. I judge between a man and his neighbor and teach them God's laws and instructions. So here's Moses with the people of Israel leading them, but doing it all by himself. In verse 17, Moses' father-in-law said, this is not the way to go about it. You'll burn out, and the people right along with you. This is way too much for you. You can't do this alone. Now listen to me. Let me tell you how to do this so that God will be in this with you. Be there for the people before God, but let matters of concern be presented to God. Your job is to teach them the rules and instructions to show them how to live, what to do. And then you need to keep a sharp eye out for competent men, men who fear God, men of integrity, men who are incorruptible, and appoint them as leaders over groups organized by the 1,000, by the 100, by the 50, and by 10. They'll be responsible for the everyday work of judging among the people. They'll bring the hard cases to you, but in the routine cases, they'll be the judges. They will share your load, and that will make it easier for you. If you handle the work this way, you'll have the strength to carry out whatever God commands you, and the people in their settings will flourish also. Moses listened to the counsel of his father-in-law and did everything he said. Moses picked competent men from all around Israel and set them as leaders over the people who were organized by 1,000, 150, and 10. They took over the everyday work of judging among the people. They brought the hard cases to Moses, and in the routine cases, they were judges. You know, I just believe that that is a beautiful picture of Moses couldn't handle it all. And, you know, let's face it, there's a lot of religious traditional gatherings around the world where it's all about the priest or the one leader, and everyone else just has to listen to what they have to say, and all the responsibility falls on that one person. And I don't know if you know the stats in Australia. There are 14,000 pastors in Australia, and there are 14,000 ex-pastors in Australia. And of many of those ex-pastors, they don't even go to church anymore. They're not even serving the Lord anymore. A lot of them are backslidden. There's a lot of pastors that thought it was all about them. And for 8 years as a pastor at New Hope, I've been blessed to have Pastor Wayne Cadero as an apostolic oversight. He wrote a book called Doing Church as a Team, and he has infused this into all the New Hope churches. There's 140 New Hope churches around the Pacific, and he's infused this into all of us. It's not all about the pastor. It's about doing church as a team. Just like Moses raised up leaders and appointed them to go and do this and do that, that's the pastor's job, to be an air traffic controller. To go, okay, this plane's coming in, land, come through, okay. Okay, you're ready to take off now, off you go. You go and start this ministry. How about you go and do a missionary work? We'll commission you to do this. We'll pray for you. We'll find some finances to support you. We'll book this room so you can meet on this night at this place. We're called to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. We're called to send out leaders. Now, I just wanted to ask once again, where has God called you in New Hope? What is the ministry you're called to serve in? Where can we appoint you? I love the way that this verse says that Moses is looking for men of integrity, men who fear God, competent. And it says, keep a sharp eye out. And I don't know if you see the way that I move around here on a Sunday. I'm always looking around. Oh, yeah, who's here? What's happening? Who's called to do what? Oh, let's have them over for dinner. Let's catch up with them. Let's find out what their gifts are. Let's get them to do a spiritual gifts test. Let's encourage them. You know, one of my favorite quotes, Pastor Phil McCallum, our founding pastor, used to say, he was always great at mentoring and raising up leaders. And he used to say, when you see a spark, blow on it. Like I see my mate Adam over there. He's been coming along to Alpha on Tuesday nights. And I got to applaud Annie because she saw the spark in Adam because he's a chef. And last week he cooked this delicious dinner for everyone on Tuesday night at Alpha. Second week of Alpha, he's already serving, helping out cooking. You know, give him a hand. Good serve. That was an ace. Good serve. You scored a goal. Good serve, you know. And we want to foster this encouraging atmosphere in our church. When someone serves, give them a hand. Encourage them. Send them an email. Send them a text. Send them a message on Facebook. Good on you. I saw you serving. Fantastic. Because that is how our church is going to shine like a light in this city. When people come in, they go, wow, that whole place is on fire. They're all doing something for God. I can't keep up with it myself. You think about it, I mean, we've got Christine going overseas here and there. We've got, you know, people starting planting churches. We had Ben and Jody plant a church up at the Sunshine Coast a couple of years ago. Jesse and Isaac planted a church at Middle Park. Greg and Karen, we sent them to Mount Tambourine. They took over a church and they've now moved back to the Gold Coast, you know. We've got other people. This Thursday, for those of you, I don't know if I announced this last week. This Thursday, with A2A, the movement we're a part of, we're commissioning two Korean pastors who are planting a New Hope in Korea underneath our church. That's starting, and isn't that amazing? Hallelujah. I can't keep up with it all, but that's the way it should be. It should be the whole church is on fire and alive and sent out to go and do this and do that, you know. And just like this was God's wisdom for Moses for the people of Israel, let's appropriate that to our church. Let's make sure we honor our leaders. Let's make sure we have this constant desire to raise up leaders. And just like wildflowers, they just blow with the wind and they sow a seed and they plant and they go here and they go there. That's the way the kingdom of God works. I just love it. Okay, point number two. So point number one, do church as a team. You got that? You got that, church? Come on. Happy birthday. You should be excited. All right, point number two. I'm not going to go too long today because we've already had a lot happening. So point number two, let's pray, fast, sow seeds, and bring in the harvest. Is anybody excited about that? Come on, you should be a little more excited about that. You know, I've been privileged to be the chairman of the National Day of Prayer for the last 4 years, and it's really changed my heart being a part of this team. We had 800 people at the Great Hall of Parliament House last year, politicians, pastors, prayer leaders, some incredible men of God. You know, we had Kevin Andrews, we had Fred Knoll, these great men and women of God, Aboriginal pastors, Korean pastors, pastors from all across Australia gathering together and praying. You know, I just want to reiterate, like Carol said in announcements today, God's house is a house of prayer for all nations, amen? We are called to be a people of prayer. It's in our DNA. We need to pray, and not just pray, we need to fast as well. So we're launching this 40 days of prayer and fasting after the day of prayer in March. I want you to think and pray about it. You might want to do a full fast for the 40 days and just drink water. You might want to do a liquids fast, which is what I'll be doing. I'll be drinking water, but I'll still be having my coffee. Need that when you're doing breakfast radio every day. I'll still be having milkshakes and soup and liquids. And I don't know if you can blend steaks, but anyway, I'll be having liquids. I'll be having my wife's got a Thermomix. You can put stuff in a Thermomix and turn it to liquid, can't you? Awesome. Anyway, but I won't be cheating. I'll be honoring God with my fast, don't worry. But you don't want to get too legalistic about it, do you? Anyway, but I want you to think and pray about it. I actually believe fasting is an important part of the Christian life. If you've never tried a fast, just ask the Lord, should I do a one-day fast? Maybe you want to fast a meal and try it out. Maybe fast a day, fast 3 days, 7, 21. Do a Daniel fast. I believe it's an important part of the Christian's DNA to be regularly fasting. We need to be sowing seeds. Just like yesterday, Carol and I sowed a seed in Kate's heart next door at the pub. And, you know, we're hoping she'll come to church, she'll give her heart to the Lord and get full on for God, you know. Let's be a people who are constantly sowing seeds wherever we go. And let's be a church that has a heart for the harvest. It has always been a call on New Hope Brisbane to have a heart for the harvest. We'll have an altar call for salvation every single Sunday. We'll be having alpha courses at the start of every year. Sometimes we'll have three or four in a year. I just feel like God wants us to do one at the start of the year at the moment and then follow on with the Omega Discipleship course through the rest of the year. I believe we need to be constantly thinking, how can we win souls? How can we bring in the harvest? Through New Hope Care, going out to Pindari men's and women's refuges, going out with Reto like they go out on the street in the valley and they hand out Bibles and tracts, you know. Going to Murray Lodge and doing barbecues and handing out the Word for Today devotional. Praying for people on the streets. Wherever we are, whatever we're doing, let's have a heart for souls. Not just Sunday morning, but Sunday night, Tuesday night, Thursday night at our prayer and worship nights. Be ready. You might have some unchurched people turning up. Get them saved while they're there. Let's keep our eyes open. Get ready to sow seeds and to bring in the harvest wherever we go. And let's have a look now at the next Bible verse we've got here. And my iPad is playing up, but it's going to behave in Jesus' name. Okay, so this is an interesting verse. I think I preached on the prophet Haggai once before. And I think it might have been for a Vision Sunday a few years ago because the Lord put it on my heart then. This week I had a coffee with a mate of mine, a strong Christian brother. We did we grew up in youth group together. We did Bible college together many years ago. And he told me that he went to a tent crusade 2 weeks ago and had a demon of anger cast out of him. And the week before that, he had a demon of fear cast out of him. Now, this is a pretty strong Christian dude. And when I had a coffee with him this week, he was completely changed. And it reminded me that many of us will be attacked by demons regularly. And we need to always be setting ourselves free and asking others to pray for us to be set free from that stuff. Anyway, he said after he got set free from this demon a couple of weeks ago, he said the Lord's really been working on his heart and the Lord's released the prophetic in him, interestingly enough. And he said, I really believe I've got a word for your church. And then in the middle of the coffee club the other day, we opened up our Bibles on our smartphones and we read through this passage in Haggai. And you know what? That morning I'd been praying. I'd been reading through the book of Acts because we're doing that now, journaling at the moment. I'm loving it. And I was reading through there and I was thinking, Lord, I really believe that there's a prophetic word for the church. And I was asking the Lord what it was. And then this is exactly what I felt was the word for our church. So this is a word from Haggai 1, verse 2 to 11. A bit of background. Haggai was the first prophet in Jerusalem after the return from the Babylonian captivity. Cyrus was a benevolent ruler and had a policy of allowing enslaved peoples to return to their homelands and rebuild temples and reinstitute their religious practices. So the people of Israel had been in captivity and they were feeling the call to go back into Israel. Many of the people from Israel had been born in Babylon, and over the years they built up prosperous and commercial enterprises. So they were comfy and happy where they were. And only those Jews who had caught a vision of service to God in the light of the promised covenant were seriously interested in this challenge from Haggai. It really got me thinking. So many of us are prospering in our businesses, in our homes, doing this and that. But how much have we got a heart for the house of God? That's the challenge that Haggai is bringing us today. Have a listen to this verse. Interesting, the name Haggai means festival or feast or festive, just like our festival today, our celebration of our 11th birthday. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Haggai, this is Haggai 1 verse 2. These people say, the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but you never had enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You put on clothes, but you're not warm. You earn wages, only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber to build my house, so that I might take pleasure in it and be honored. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why? Because declares the Lord Almighty, because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with your own house. Therefore, because of the heavens that have withheld their dew and the earth its crops, I called for a drought on the fields and the mountains, on the grain, the new wine, the olive oil, and everything else the ground produces, on people and livestock, and on all the labor of your hands. We'll skip a little bit there, and we'll go to Haggai 2, verse 4. He says, be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord, and work, for I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. This is what I've covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you, so do not fear. This is what the Lord Almighty says, in a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all the nations, and what is desired by all nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. As I was reading that, as my mate Ben was reading that to me in a coffee shop, I felt this conviction in my heart. And you know what? It's a word for the church, but it's also a word for me and for Carol, for our family. And I thought about it. And I thought, Lord, how does that relate to us today? What are you saying to us? This is how I'd sum it up. We're all loving our lives in our nice paneled houses. We're all prospering and we're doing well. We might have good jobs. We might have good money coming in. We might have our kids at good schools. We might be driving nice cars. But we're treating it like it's our own little life. And occasionally we'll come and do something for God at church. Occasionally we'll go on a mission trip. Occasionally we'll give and we'll serve and we'll do something for God. Occasionally we'll join a team and we'll do a bit of this and that. But the Lord is saying there to give careful thought to your ways. And he's basically saying you need to shift your attention off your own little world and your own little life and the Australian dream, and the way that the media and the commercials and everything tells you, it's all about you, live for yourself, build up your own things for yourself and do it for you. Don't focus on your own little world. Focus on the house of God. Focus on the call of God for your life. Focus on the mission that God has placed for you. Use the gifts that God has given you to build the house of God. You know that little video clip we played before? It says, I believe that the local church is the hope of the world. When Pastor Phil McCallum anointed me with oil and commissioned me to take over this church, he said to me, Matt, there is no more important job in the world than working for the church of God. There's many great ministries out there, parachurch ministries and organizations, many great missions and things that are happening. But his church, the bride of Christ, is the hands and feet of Jesus. It's the most important work that you could ever do. And he said to me, Matt, be careful. You've got lots of gifts and talents. You could be poached by all sorts of ministries and businesses and companies. You could go and do lots of great stuff. You could probably make lots of money, be quite successful doing all sorts of things. But make sure you're only doing what God calls you to do. Make sure your focus is on the house of God and the call of God in your life. And Carol and I would be very honest with you today and say there's been a number of times when we were thinking of cutting and running. And running off to a cushy job, doing something else that had better hours and less problems and, you know, less complicated, not as difficult, not as much attack from the enemy, you know, all that. But we felt God say, are you going to answer the call? And I truly believe that's a word for us, but I believe it's a word for us as a church. Don't get distracted with your paneled houses and running off, looking after your own life. Serve in the house of God. Give your life as an offering to the house of God. And this is the promise. How good is this? It says, be strong, people of the land, and work, for I am with you. This is what I covenanted with you. And my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. He says, I'll shake the nations, and what I desire by all nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory. He says, the glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place, I will grant peace. I truly believe that we have our best days are yet to come. Do not despise the days of small beginning. God has been gathering a faithful people, the burning ones. He's gathered people with gifts and talents. He's started to build us together in unity. But he's only just begun. He's only just begun what he's got planned for us. Do not despise the day of small beginnings. And the third point I want to share today, I want to remind you, number one, we're doing church as a team. Every single one of us is called to put our hand to the plow and serve and to rejoice when someone's serving. Number two, we must remember that we need to be a people who pray and fast, who sow seeds and bring in the harvest. And number three, let's go after every person we can because every soul matters to God. Every soul matters to God. Every person on this planet. You know, the Bible says that it's God's will that no one perish, but all come to repentance through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. I heard it put recently that God the Father is waiting to announce the return of Jesus Christ. And that Jesus is there pleading, saying, don't send me yet, Lord. Don't send me yet, Father. There's more to come. There's more souls to be harvested. There's more people. There's more lost people that need to be won. Don't send me yet. And that's the heart of Jesus because he wants every person on this planet to be saved. And so does God the Father. And that's why he hasn't sent Jesus yet because he's waiting on us, the church, to get out and fulfill the Great Commission, to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to do what he's called us to do. Let's remember our four pillars as a church. When we prayed and fasted a few years ago, God clearly put these four pillars in our heart. Number one, share the good news of Jesus and see lives transformed in Brisbane, Australia, and the world. Number two, we want to see a church that's equipped to function in their spiritual gifts and the supernatural power of God. Who wants that? Amen? Number three, to build a community that loves one another and reaches out to the poor and needy together. Amen? Who wants to do that? And number four, to connect with others through weekly groups catering for men, women, youth, and children. You know, we believe that every single one of us is meant to be knitted together in a community. I remember that song I used to sing at youth group. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. You know, what an important message for every one of us. If we are truly going to achieve what God's called us to achieve, we need to be meeting together regularly, not just Sunday morning. We need to be meeting together. You know, when I mean, all my life I've been to church twice on a Sunday. In today's culture, many people only come once on a Sunday, once every 2 or 3 weeks on average if they feel like it, you know. We should be committed. You know, I reckon we should have that same fire that whenever the doors are open, we should be here, you know. Come to everything you can. Come to Alpha and Omega on Tuesday night, Blokes and Inspire. Come on Thursday night to prayer. Come to a working bee on Saturday morning. Even if it's closed, sit out the front and pray. Doesn't matter what's happening, you know. Just be a part of the house of God. God is looking for people who will give their lives as an offering. Lay down their lives and find it in Christ. And this last passage, let's go after every person we can. Every soul matters to God. Let's look at Luke 15:1. This is the story I shared before. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Oh, can you believe it? Those religious Pharisaical fuddy-duddies. And the Sadducees, they're so Sadducees, because that's why they're called the Sadducee, because they're Sadducee. These religious fuddy-duddies were accusing Jesus of eating with sinners and welcoming them. Who believes New Hope Brisbane should have that said about us? New Hope Brisbane is a place that welcomes sinners and eats with them, amen? And we are going to eat soon a very delicious cake that my wife has made. Wouldn't that be great if that was our reputation? That's that church that anyone can turn up. You should see some of the motley crew that rock up at that joint, you know. Let's be a church that welcomes sinners and eats with them. It doesn't matter who comes. Well, the doors are wide open. That's the way Jesus did it. He hung out with the tax collectors of the day. They were like the mafia. They were like the underbelly, you know. They were like the worst of the worst, the prostitutes, you know. He hung out with a lot of them. He cared for them. He loved for them. And they changed their lives because of his love for them. Amen. This is how the world will know we're his disciples, if we have love for one another. This man welcomes sinners and eats with them. The Pharisees are accusing him. And then Jesus told this parable. He always has a good story to come back at these smarty religious fuddy-duddies. He says, suppose one of you has 100 sheep. And, you know, they're all farmers in that region. They all know what the deal is. So if you've got 100 sheep and you lose one of them, doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? Now, can I just say, these guys, they love their sheep. They know their sheep. You know, I've been to Israel. I know. I've seen shepherds with their sheep. Yeah, I've been there. Yeah. They love their sheep. So they know what he's talking about. He says, doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep. I tell you, in the same way that there'll be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 persons who do not need to repent. I truly believe that we want to be a church that is making heaven rejoice all the time. Every time someone gets saved at New Hope or through the people that are here at New Hope or one of our ministries, you know, heaven throws a party. Let's make sure that we are making heaven party as much as possible in these last days. Amen? Let's make sure every soul matters to us. That's part of our DNA. We are called to be a harvest church. Now, we're going to do two things before we close the service. Before we have cake, I actually felt the Lord speak to me last night about collecting a second offering today. Now, it's not something we do often, but I want you to pray and think about this. This offering is going to go towards New Hope Care. Now, we had a meeting with the team for New Hope Care this week. New Hope Care is tax deductible, of course. If you give to New Hope Care, you can claim it on your tax and everything. We've only raised about $8,000. Our goal was to raise $50,000 by the end of last year. Now, I don't like missing out on goals, and I don't know why we didn't raise that 50 grand, but I do know that God is going to bring in the money at the right time through the right people at the right place. It's like the pastor that said, I've got some good news and bad news about our building program. The good news is we have all the money we need for our new building. The bad news is it's all in your pockets. Last night as I was praying and reading through this, I just felt the Lord say, we need to make sure, like one of our pillars that I read about is about reaching out to the poor and the lonely and the wounded. You know, and for the first 6 or 7 years at New Hope, we put on great morning services. We had great camps. We had great youth and Sunday school. But you know what? We didn't have anything that was intentionally caring for the poor and the lost and the lonely and the wounded. And the Lord spoke to me, spoke to Carol, spoke to Janet, spoke to our elders, spoke to a number of us, that we need to launch something to lead this. And a good friend of mine, a pastor, said to me, Matt, don't you run it, because it'll drive you crazy, because you're called to be a pastor, not to run a care organisation. And so we're praying for God to raise up the right person at the right time and to raise up a team to run it. But to do that, we need to employ someone. We need to really move forward. So we're having a big fundraiser in May 31st. We've got Peter Irvine from Gloria Jean's Coffees speaking at it. On a Saturday night here, we're going to invite politicians, business people. We're going to invite all the pastors we can find, all of our friends and family. We're going to have a big celebration here and a big fundraising night. But I believe that it's great for us to believe for all that to come to support New Hope Care, but I actually believe it has to start with us, the church. We need to be sowing into New Hope Care so that it has enough finances to be launched to be more effective. Now, we have the Rito Drug Rehab, which is a part of New Hope Care. We go to Pindari Men's and Women's. We go to Murray Lodge. We've started we have our emergency food cabinet. We have all these things that we've launched. But we need a good, strong, solid team. And I believe part of it is that we need to be generous to sow into New Hope Care. So we're going to pray in a moment. I'm going to ask you to seek the Lord about an amount to give. Now, you can give today if you want to fill out a credit card slip in your newsletter and all that. You can do it that way. Or you can give online during the week. About 70% of our church give online. But I truly believe we need to put our money where our mouth is. If we believe in this vision to reach out to the poor and the lonely, we need to give to it and sow into it. And I believe that God is going to multiply these finances and we're going to achieve that target of 50,000. So let's pray and let's just ask the Lord to speak to us about that. And if the ushers would be prepared to collect an offering, if a few of the guys could get ready for that. Steve, is that all right? Let's get ready to give in a moment. Let's pray.